Most leadership failures doesn't happen because of bad strategy or lack of resources. They happen because of poor communication. I would like to explore this topic a little bit deeper in this episode, as it might involve a lot of us on projects, on just regular day-to-day communication. I want to touch base on some best practices, how to be better communicator. I'm Greg Mieszczychowski, and this is the Uncover Leadership Podcast. For over 15 years, I've been leading teams, and my mission is simple: to share my experience so you can grow on your own leadership journey. Each episode, I'll bring you some practical tips, real-world insights, and lessons from my path to help guide yours. So listen in. Let's uncover leadership together. Let's start with a very important question. Why communication is the core of leadership? Among some other core values that we need to include. In leadership, communication is 80% of your role. Setting up vision, aligning people together, and inspiring them to action. Poor communication can create confusions that can create duplication of efforts or even disengagement. What, on the other hand, great communication, it creates clarity, it creates alignment, and it, you know, motivates the people to move forward and to, you know, give all from themselves, getting that clear vision in mind. This is why the vision and strategy, it's so important at the company. We need to communicate the big picture and let the people that work for the organization know why they're working, what's the big purpose of the company either existing on the market. It can be anything from providing health services to providing media for customers or just entertainment. But there is a vision, right? This is what we want to do. This is what we were built or created to provide. And this is important on all levels. We coming a little bit down to overall alignment. We need to make sure that our teams, our peers, departments at the company, and all individuals are pulling in the same direction. Otherwise, it's going to create a chaos. Everyone going to go different ways. It's going to be creating a lot of duplication in the effort. It's going to be conflicting efforts. That's why it's so important for us as leaders to be clear and vision, mission, guidance. Where the communication is critical is the execution itself. We need to get clear daily communication. It needs to include the overall goal of the effort, the blockers that are appearing in front of the team members, feedback itself, the feedback from the business, the feedback from the users of the products that we're delivering. We want to make sure that we're doing a good job. We want to explore what we can do better for them. We want to explore what we can do better for ourselves. That's why the communication is so critical. And the communication needs to be shown in the culture of the company. It's an ongoing tone and style how the leaders and the teams interact. And as a leader, you need to give an example. You need to communicate clearly, honestly, without judgment, without pointing fingers. You don't want to blame anyone. You don't want to feel anyone's afraid. And you want people to be open. You want people to communicate without fear of being reprimanded. That's very important. And now my favorite part, the real world examples. And one of the examples that you're going to be able to hear left and right without any particular company or person are the agile ceremonies, the daily stand-ups. It needs to be clear, quick alignment of the team members, where they are, what's the blockers for them to move forward. It's critical. The next item are the retrospectives itself. When the team is in alignment and they communicate openly and they have that feedback culture, they can grow, they can modify the procedures, they can modify the way how they address issues, they can modify the way that how they review the code or check each other, how they support each other. That's very important. If you're going to look at safe approach from agile bucket, the PA planning, once every 6 sprints you get everyone together, all of the teams. Let's say you have 7 teams on your agile restring, and you need to communicate the vision where we are going as a train, as a whole group, seven teams. It's, you know, around 50 to 70 people. You need to make sure that the path where the team is going is communicated all the way downstream. Everyone on the train should know it, because there are multiple teams, multiple people, and you want to make sure that they are collaborating to create value for the business, for the customers. Other great example would be Google's Project Aristotle, where they studied over 180 teams, and they found that number one factor in high performance was the psychological safety built through communication norms. Teams where everyone spoke in roughly equal measurement and listened actively were the most effective. The brilliance wasn't in the individual members of each team. It was in how the whole team, the people in that team, team members communicated and interacted. And that structure of conversations, so all voices are heard, drive the encouragement for everyone to give their best. Another example going to be from 1982, when the Tylenol crisis occurred, and Johnson & Johnson, when they cyanide-laced Tylenol killed seven people, they communicated openly, quickly, and transparently, and that, you know, led to pulling out 31 million of bottles, and they launched tamper-proofing packaging to make sure that it's never going to happen in the future. It went viral on TV, like viral, it went on TV to explain the steps, what the company is doing to avoid any more deaths. Then this crisis showed the importance of the communication, and it became a gold standard for corporate responsibility. If you want to explore it a little bit deeper from the Army perspective, I would highly recommend the book Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, where they provide an example of critical communication and transparency on the action, where they almost caused the friendly fire. There was some miscommunication. People didn't read the map of the area properly, and they used the numbers for buildings, and they were sure that they, like, this is not this number, right? That we're talking about different number. We think we saw hostiles over there. But the author of this book explained how he persists to check it again. And after two checks, they received the information back from platoon that observed the possible threats from the enemy side, that we made a mistake, we count the buildings wrong, it's a different number. And that different number, they knew it's occupied by Navy SEALs. That could be leading to tragedy if not the proper communication in that case. And this is showing you a life or death situation where the communication not going to be clear and transparent. And getting that examples from real world, some of them really kind of scary if you think about it, you know, people dying and then quick reaction of the company or the army communication that can, in the worst case, can lead to they're basically shooting their own people. You know, that's kind of spark, you know, we as leaders need to make sure that we're not going to make that failure. And what we can do in order to avoid it? Number one, going to be always, we need to be active listeners. We need to focus when you're talking with anyone, with your team members, with customers, with leaders at your company, actively listening to them. Make sure that you try to absorb the meaning of their words. What we usually do when someone's talking to us, like, we capture one item that we need to address and we're thinking about the response. So everything after portion of their communication, it's lost for us. We didn't pay attention. We already were thinking like, oh my God, we need to, let's say, explore that subject because it's going to be a huge risk for the future, where you're going to fail to observe the other potential threats in the remaining part of the communication. When we communicate something to others, we quite often assume that people get it. We just want told it to someone and we think like they got it, and I'm gonna be blamed on that. I'm a usually fast talker, you know, and I got from that, it's easy, right? It's easy for you, can be easy for me by coming up with something, proposition, idea, solution, anything. If you're coming with something like that, it's easy for you because you understand it. The other side, not necessary, and we need to remember about it. And you know, for me to kind of avoid getting into this trap, when we discuss some changes in the process, I make sure that I communicate it way ahead of time. This is what we're gonna do. And every week I'm providing feedback for the team, like how much progress I did, when they're going to be testing for them available, where the process changing, or we're using different boards, or we're changing Jira boards to act a little bit differently. We have a sandbox for them to test it, and everything is communicated to them clearly, because I want to make sure that they're mentally prepared for that. And when the times come, they're not going to be surprised that something happening. Next very important item is to make sure that you shape your message properly to the audience that will be receiving it, right? You cannot communicate the same to mass population or to some specialist in a field or the leaders in a company. You should use a different word. With the technical expert, if you have the knowledge and you know the terminology, you can use it, right? You can use it with them because they're going to understand it. If you're going to use the same terminology, communicate it to masses, they're probably not going to know what you're talking about. If you're going to communicate it to the leaders at your company, some of them might have that knowledge because they were working in that field a while ago before they step into the senior leadership role. On the other side, for them, it's not necessarily important the technological aspect of the problem. They're more interested about the risks, issues, and impact and possible solutions. So you need to choose the right message, the right words for the audience. And on top of that, there are non-verbal cues that we need to pay attention to. How the people behave, how they react to your message, do they engage with their posture, or are they start closing in? There are a lot of items, and some of them are impossible to observe if people are not on camera, if you don't see them in person. But even silence can bring additional information for you when you look for it. If you're expecting someone to provide a feedback in the conversations, maybe they are disconnected, maybe they are not even in front of the computer if they're not on the camera, maybe they are frightened to speak up or when you are discussing something. So there are a lot of items that you need to pay attention to. It's not easy, unfortunately. So now getting to the fun part, the practical tips. If you want the message to stick, if it's important message, you want to make sure that the people got it, I would follow the rule of thumb to repeat it 7 times. Try to communicate it in writing, in messaging, in a talk on a presentation where you're gonna get it, repeat it on a meeting 7 times to make sure that who got the message. The next tip gonna be ask more questions than you give answers. That way you can listen in to the people, listen to their ideas, and also empower them to be more active. The next one gonna be create multiple channels of communication. We have emails, one-on-ones, we can get town halls, we can get team meetings, can get stand-up daily meetings. There are multiple channels of communication where you can communicate something to the team, but also the team should be able to communicate to you. The communication should work both ways. Then try to implement the model of transparency. You need to share with your teams what you know and what you can tell them. And you just admit as much as I can tell you is, and you provide them the information that are free to share with the team members. And then, you know, just say like, as soon as I'm gonna be able to provide you more details, I will. Then when you're looking for the clues in others, listen for that silence I mentioned before. If no one is speaking up, then there may be communication problem in the team. They might have not get aligned. They might not get a trust each other if they're afraid to talk with the other team members present. And at the very end, remember to close the loop. When people raise issues, circle back with the update. And what I like to do is at the end of the meeting, I'm just looking at my notes and I try to repeat what we just discussed. Just repeating the same items that I'm gonna put later in the notes from the meeting if I'm sending it. Now, for the closing statement, communication is the most powerful leadership tool you already have, and it doesn't cost you any money, but it demands some discipline on your side. I want to give you a small challenge for the next week. Try to be active listener. Don't provide answers, ask more questions, observe others, and try to identify the reactions. Listen to your people, listen to the messages they're providing, look for quiet moments in a meeting, look for that silence. I wish you good luck. Thank you very much for listening. If you like it, please follow me on Spotify or wherever you're listening to this podcast, and hope to get you back next week. Thank you.